Welcome to The Business Wilderness, a podcast focused on the world of entrepreneurs and the best practices they need to follow to navigate the complex world of business. We feature thought-provoking topics and industry experts on every show.
Welcome to The Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed Alhoui, and today we have a very special guest, Mr. David Lindekew from Orbit Partners. David, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Ahmed. Good to be here. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure, David. Before we get into what you're currently working on and what you're currently doing, let's go back in time. Who was David as a young man at school?
So David was an interesting guy at school. I had a lot of energy, and I was, I would say, very academic, but also very athletic, with a very short attention span. So this often led to a little bit of mischievous behavior and maybe, you know, what people deemed distracted, but always driven, always motivated, and always obviously seeking the best that I could be. But yeah, just immensely driven, loving to learn new skills, and yeah, just a lot of energy.
Awesome. And can you take us through sort of your transition from school to college into your current job?
Sure. So I'm actually South African. I'm living now in Los Angeles, and I grew up in South Africa. I grew up in a small town called Durban, which was really good in terms of schooling with top tier academics and sporting. So I learned a lot of really good lessons there about discipline and perseverance and working towards goals. I then went from my school in Durban, Clifton. I then went to University of Cape Town. During university, I chopped and changed. I studied various modules from computer science all the way through to law. I ended up finishing with finance and economics. And then I did a further postgraduate degree in financial analysis. During all of this, though, I was always entrepreneurial. I came from a family where, you know, if I wanted things, I need to work for it. And I was always immensely obsessed with technology. As a young boy, I loved computers and space. I was obsessed with it. And I always just loved the ability that technology allows you to scale. So I've always been a firm believer in business and like the value that business can unlock in the world and the problems it can solve. But I felt this big desire towards being drawn into the technology sector. During my university years, I founded a company where we were South Africa's first smartphone brand. That was a bit of a roller coaster. Did really well, then really badly, then really well, then really badly. Learned a lot of good lessons there. After burning my fingers a bit in the entrepreneurial space at a young age, I kind of felt that maybe I'll take a more conservative route. And I became a financial analyst in an equity and hedge fund, top performing one in South Africa. That I realized very quickly wasn't my calling. And I then left to get involved in product and engineering in the telecoms and payment space in South Africa. And I just realized at some point about 2.5 years ago that I needed a bit of change. And I decided to tap into my skill set and enter the technology market here. I came to the United States just over a year and a half ago. And yeah, Orbit has been growing ever since. And I also took on a product lead role at Elbit, which was a financial management app. So just learned a lot, and a lot of learnings all pointing without trying in the same direction. You know, this technology route, predominantly consumer driven, and yeah, solving problems using technology. That's, I guess, what I'm most passionate about.
Fantastic. Amazing career so far. And more to come, I'm sure. Let's talk about the whole product building journey for startups. I mean, so many startups go in blind into product. They don't know where to start. Even when they start, they will always reach a point where they realize they wish they had done things differently because they're at a point where they need to scale and their backend or their platform's not really built for the scale that they require. So Take us through a bit of flow, not so much a flow chart, like a bit of a process where you can highlight the different things that startups should look out for and how they should build their foundations. so they can grow when they need to grow?
Yeah, great question. So a couple of factors to answer that effectively. First and foremost, you should validate and check that the product team and engineering team that you bring on board, whether it be in-house or third party, can actually perform the task that they state. When validating these individuals, check past experience that is compatible and suitable with the industry and area that you are going into. Once you've truly validated that the people that you actually tapping into are truly skillful, then move to the next step. I find that a lot of companies are approaching startups knowing that they've got funding, promising the world with no real experience or strategy. But provided that you do find the correct product and engineering talent, the next step, I think, is also trying to bite off more than you can chew. We regularly meet with startups in the kind of seed series A stage, predominantly seed when this next case ensues. But effectively, they've received money, they want to change the world, and they want to change the world tomorrow with everything. And I think what's important is to actually break it down. Nothing, in our opinion, should be built without thorough documentation. We do product requirement documents for every single thing we're going to build. There's going to be theses that we'll stipulate. We then ensure that our analytics prior to anything that we launch is in place to test these theses. So the point of it is that in advance, break down what you want to do into the smallest parts, tackle them in a step-by-step manner. Predominantly, if you've got funding too, this helps give investors confidence of your execution and plan in terms of a product journey. But engage with your engineering and product team and find out what are your immediate MVP milestones. And from there, work towards that while, as I say, keeping this documentation up and current, continuously testing new ideas and stipulating a new thesis to test. But then, it just needs to be this discipline to this journey. And the key is, as you said, always weighing up what we're doing now with where we want to be. And I think it is important to understand always through this documentation process, which is a live document, these are, things are in flux and they always change. But what are you trying to get to? And where are we right now? So we can't get to where we want to be right now. And there will be steps in advance to get there. So what are the best steps? What's the low-hanging fruit right now? And with this low-hanging fruit that we're going to build first, this MVP or V1 early stages kind of product build, how can it be future fitted for further use and development? So we often like to build any new features as microservices that can just be tied into existing infrastructure or be built upon in their own individual capacity moving forward. I think the key for that is my word of advice to founders is that if you're non-technical, don't feel embarrassed to actually tap into your network and ask people for advice. You'd be so surprised with like fellow co-founders who are technical or people who are technical in the industry who will actually reach out and give you advice. And that could be from the vetting of your team all the way through to what you tackle first and what theses you're trying to answer and test. The goal is to always understand what went right and what went wrong and then to constantly iterate from there.
Wow.
Potlatch is a community for founders and investors. We hold pitch sessions with great VCs such as Multicoin Capital and Accel every weekday. If you want to pitch and get connected with great investors, please join our community and events. You can check out all the events here in the link below and follow us on Twitter at TryPotlatch.
So if we could sum that up in like a short sentence or two, how would you put it?
Cool. Find a good team, product and engineering team. Understand where you fit in the process. If you don't have that skill set, tap into people that do. Validate that they have that skill set. So finding the correct product and engineering team. And I say, I stress this as important as item number one is they can lead you down the path of wasted time and resources if it's not the right people. So validate, find good fit, then move to the next step. Next step from there is understand where you want to be as a business and then understand where you're at. And then break that down into milestones, as I mentioned earlier, product journey. What are you going to tickle first and how are you going to test that what you previously anticipated about this launch went well, what went right, what went wrong, how can we adjust it? So documentation of where you are, where you want to be, and then breaking that down into bite-sized PRDs that can then be built out. That's product requirement doc. So documenting all features, handing over to engineers, releasing a new feature, circling back to the documentation, and then testing. So validate team, document, build, and then test the questions you're originally asking before iterating on to the next step.
Amazing. David, you've basically now been involved in product and technology for a long time. How have you seen the world of product evolve?
Good question. So I must say, more and more what we've seen is a lot of companies that are coming to us wanting to build things, and then we're realizing that there's big niches for product and engineering teams who build third-party solutions. So as a product and engineering team, to come into a company that might be needing some process features or software built, it might find out that that is just kind of pulling together a variety of third-party tools and pieces of software. And I feel that the prevalence of good third-party options is increasing, which is exciting for founders because it can also help getting them to the point of these MVPs and testing themselves and getting more funding. So I've definitely seen that there's been the prevalence of plugins and APIs available is really, really exciting. I think we're living in this API world now where that is really like hotting up and getting super exciting. So that's changing also the way we look at products. Like now when we engage with the client, we actually go away and we check that there isn't anything that can remove the requirement for a lot of bespoke engineering. And then also I see that a lot more teams are becoming decentralized and remote. Obviously the ideal would be all engineers sitting under one roof, but in this new pandemic world, the idea of remote engineers and distributed teams is becoming more prevalent, both in-house and obviously the acquisition of offshoring services is also ramping up. So yeah, the to wrap up and answer, it's the introduction of many little niche pieces of software that can tie into your own product. And this is only increasing in its acceleration and of rollout of these pieces of software. And then, I guess that, and then obviously the fact that, that from our side, I think that's it. To be honest, my head is so deep often in the grass that like I barely pull my head up to actually look how far we've gone. Or where we've moved from, but yeah, I hope that is some guidance.
Awesome. David, a moment or a piece of advice in your life which has really made you think about things differently or change the way you see things.
Interesting. So I guess what I realized while moving to the United States is it's not been potentially a moment, it's just been the idea of momentum. I think that once you get moving in life, and this is maybe more personal even, but we instill it in our company, and is documentation of your progress on a daily basis. And once I started tapping into this, a friend of mine was actually doing it. And I remember I sat with him in a meeting and he pulled up, he was evaluating his personal performance on a variety of factors every day, from public speaking to his relationships with other people. And he's a very successful founder. So I thought this was a little bit excessive. So I took a page out of his book and just became very pedantic about diarizing tasks and then kind of giving feedback for myself on these tasks. And once I tapped into this, I found that my ability to scale what I was doing personally and us as a company has really, really increased. So my piece of advice would just be accounting for daily progress. Too often we think that tomorrow's another day, where even if you're having a bad day, try and identify key items that you can tick off and be proud of in terms of actual quantifiable progress.
Awesome. David, thank you very much. You've been absolutely amazing. Definitely appreciate the insight and the intel. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do so online?
Yeah, so feel free to go to orbitpartners.io. We're always looking to work with new companies, big and small. And then feel free to reach out to me too. My email address is simply Dave, D-A-V-E, at orbit.partners. But yeah, the easiest route is simply go orbitpartners.io and yeah, ready to chat.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, David from Orbit Partners, thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ahmed.
Thanks for listening to the Business Wilderness. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at businesswilderness.com.